This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, visiting with Anatole Lieben of the Quincy Institute, commenting on diplomacy and its iterations here in the early 21st century. I come to an announcement from Washington, the White House. As leaders of Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States, guided by our enduring ideals and shared commitment to the international rules-based order, we resolve to deepen diplomatic security and defense cooperation in the Indo-Pacific region, including by working with partners to meet the challenges of the 21st century. As part of this effort, we are announcing the creation of an enhanced trilateral security partnership called AUKUS. I've never actually heard it pronounced. Australia, the United Kingdom, and the United States. Anatole, as a representative of Mother Britain, I call upon you to comment. What's striking here, given that the Quad already exists in some fashion, India, Australia, Japan, and the United States, is that Mother Britain is getting involved in East Asia again for the first time, to my mind, at least since it left Hong Kong in the late 20th century, and maybe even more profoundly since Winston Churchill's lamented empire was turned back after the Second War. So I'm keen on this. Is this Boris Johnson's global Britain at work? How do you measure it?
Yes. I mean, as far as Britain is concerned, this is not entirely serious, to be honest, because we already have close intelligence cooperation with Australia, and the naval forces that Britain can deploy in this region, as we've seen, are very limited. The British aircraft carrier has American planes and pilots on it. It doesn't have enough British escort vessels. But I think as far as America and Australia are concerned, this is a significant I mean, it's a deepening of the existing relationship, but there is, I think, a key difference here with the Quad, because the Quad involving India does not involve a real commitment to fight. India has not committed itself to fight to defend Taiwan. America has not committed itself to fight for India's territorial claims in the Himalayas, and Japan even less likely. Whereas I think that as far as Australia and America are concerned, America would fight to defend Australia. What this latest move indicates is that Australia is becoming more willing, which it wasn't necessarily before, to fight on America's side in the South China Sea. If America builds, sort of Australia builds these submarines with American help, then Australia will actually have a long range naval capability, which it hasn't really had for the past two generations. So militarily speaking, this is quite an important step, I think. But I don't regard Britain's participation as in itself terribly important.
Anatole's referring to the fact that part of the conversation now is that Australia will turn away from a French building submarines, which would not have been nuclear powered, would have been electric powered. Quiet, very quiet. And turning towards U.S. technology for a nuclear powered submarines, we can presume they will not be boomers with missiles, but with attack submarines, Virginia class or something like that. Here, the issue, though, is the adversary, and that's the People's Republic of China. So in just a moment, your first thoughts, does this increase the tension in the area to see China now having to deal with a European partner and the U.S. committing itself, as it did during the Second War, to maintaining an alliance with Australia, even though intervening we have the Pacific Islands that were a great problem for the U.S. Navy in the 1940s and could be again if China moves in any fashion towards, list the possible targets, Okinawa, Taiwan, first of all, Japan, all of that. So is the East Asia more dangerous now after this trilateral partnership than before?
I'm not sure that it is, because the Chinese should have realized already that, America and Australia had a strong alliance. I mean, obviously, this will be very unpopular in China. Of course, one must say that to some extent the Chinese have brought it on themselves by their, you know, occupation of these islands in the South China Sea. But of course, the really deep risk is Taiwan and what both countries, what America and China do about that issue. What we now know, I think, is that if, God forbid, there is a war, probably, you know, Australia, once it's built these submarines, will be there alongside the United States. That was somewhat questionable before. Now it's not in question. Whether that will affect Chinese calculations in any way, I couldn't say. It is, I think, though, striking once again that this is, you know, a closer bond between two countries which were already very close. It doesn't necessarily say anything about wider relations or alliances with India, for example.
The final 30 seconds then. We regard this as an opening gambit. If we were chess players, this would be bringing the knight into play. Is that a fair... The knight was always a dangerous actor to me in my amateurishness. Is that a fair analogy?
Well, the Australians would be flattered to think of themselves as knights. The risk is that the Chinese will simply see them as pawns and dismiss them accordingly. We will have to see. I don't think that this will affect or change in any way Chinese behavior. But it deepens an existing relationship.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute. Pawns. I like that, Anatole. Well played. This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.